prayer is, of course, that every one of us here will receive a very special blessing from our Lord, so that at the conclusion of this worship service, all of us may be able to say, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, this morning, my topic is an exemplary young lady. Her name was Exa, the daughter of Caleb. Now, in chapter 14, we read of Caleb claiming this piece of land which Moses had promised to him. And, of course, the land that was promised to him was, of course, one that was given by the one true living God to him. Now, Caleb did not claim for a piece of cake. He didn't claim for a piece of land that was easy for him to conquer. But he claimed for a land that was a great challenge for him to conquer. He came before Joshua and he said, give me this mountain. It was something that was challenging for him to conquer. And it was challenging because the place was inhabited by giants, the Anakims, who some 45 years earlier had stricken fear into the hearts of the children of Israel. So much so that they did not have the courage nor the faith to move into the promised land to claim it. Now, Caleb asked for this piece of land, and then he went in, and he claimed that mountain for the one true living God. He fought successfully and led the people from his tribe, the people from Judah, to drive out the Anakims. Now, next, we see that he was really very, very unselfish. After he had driven out the Anakims, yes, what did he do? He didn't just sit back and watch his fellow tribesmen, the people from Judah, to fight their own battles. But he went to the help. So if you look at Joshua chapter 15 and verse 13, you will know that he actually went to the help. And so we read in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 15. And he went thence. Thence means from there, from the mountain which he conquered. And he went from there to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kiriath Sefer. Now, he went all out to help his fellow tribesmen, the men of Judah, to conquer Kiriath Sefer. And it was at this point that we are introduced to this lovely young lady, the daughter of Caleb, by the name of Exa. Now, he offered the hand of Exa to any man who would accept the challenge and to go in and drive and to conquer Kiriath Sefer. And now, who should be the man, the great hero of the faith, to accept this challenge? None other than this young man by the name of Othniel. And so we read in verse 17 of Joshua chapter 15, verse 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. He took Kiriath Sefer. He conquered Kiriath Sefer. And he, meaning Caleb, then gave him Exa, his daughter, to wife. All right, so you see Othniel was actually the cousin of Exa. Now, from this very short story of Exa, I'd like us to learn several things. Number one, Exa's hand was given to a man who was worthy of her. And then number two, Exa's relationship with her husband, obviously a new husband. And number three, Exa's desire for a piece of real estate. And number four, Exa's relationship with her father, Caleb. And number five, Exa's desire for a blessing. 5 points this morning, but the points are all quite short, I would say. Now, the man worthy of the hand of Exa, he was none other than Othniel. Now, Exa, as we said, was probably a very beautiful young lady, and Othniel, being her cousin, would have known her ever since she was young, and he really loved her. And so no one was going to beat him to win the hand of this lovely young lady. And as they say, faint hearts never won fair ladies. And so this man took up the challenge, and he went out to fight against the men of Kiriath Sefer and conquered that place. So he successfully took the city of Kiriath Sefer. Now, let us, particularly young people, not just dwell on the romance of the story. Of course, it sounds very, very romantic, right? This man loving this young lady, going out to conquer that city, to win the hand of this young lady. It all sounds very romantic. But friends, think of the reality of the situation. It was actually a very dangerous mission, right, to conquer the city of Kiryat-Sefer. He could die in battle, but he was willing to make the sacrifice of his life for the love of Exa. To him, what was worth loving was worth dying for. Now I speak to all husbands in our midst here. Husbands in our midst, how much do we love our wives? Has our love for our wife waned over the years, or has it grown stronger over the years? Now, during courtship days, we will give anything. We'll give anything and we'll do anything, right, for our beloved. But would we do it now? Now, that's the question. Would we do it now? God's word says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Yes, husbands are to love their wives, and they are to love their wives sacrificially. Now, this love is, of course, lofty, because it is sacrificial love, and so it is a lofty love. But, my dear friends, let us make sure that it is not so lofty to the extent that it becomes very theoretical. All right? So, it becomes so theoretical that we say, but my wife is not in danger right now. If she is in danger, I'll surely give my life for her. I'll sacrifice my life for her. But right now, the reality of things is that she is very, very inundated by household chores, and she is very, very busily occupied with so many things, and she feels very, very tired. But what do we do as husbands? Do we lift up our fingers to help our poor wives who are so inundated by the household chores and other domestic responsibilities? One time, we held a forum in Singapore at our Adults Fellowship, and that was many years ago. And the topic was husband and wife relationship. And then the questions were posed, and there was this question from the floor. The question was asked, how should a man love his wife? How should a man love his wife? There was one answer that came from the floor. There was this young man who was very romantic, and so he said, I'll show my love for my wife by sending her flowers on her birthday. I'll send flowers on our wedding anniversary. Right? Sounded very good. Now, of course, that would be a good expression of love for your wife if both of you are very romantic. But then there was another answer from the floor. There was this man, not too old, young man also, not new. He had a young family at that time. And he said this, well, I'll show my love for my wife in this manner. When baby cries in the night because she needs a change of nappy, I will wake up in the middle of the night and change baby's nappy so that I can allow my wife to continue to sleep. Now you tell me, which of the two is sacrificial love? All right? Obviously the second one, that is sacrificial love. Now I'm not saying that you shouldn't show romantic love, don't get me wrong, all right? You by all means show romantic love, but what we are saying is, what is sacrificial love? I think the second one, or second way of expressing love, is an expression of sacrificial love. Now, love is indeed an extremely powerful motivating force. Now you will remember Jacob loved Rachel, the Uncle Laban's daughter. Yes, his Uncle Laban's daughter, and he loved her dearly. And so what he did was he very, very gladly served for 7 long years for the hand of this young lady, Rachel. Yes, it was a deal that Uncle Laban demanded of him, that if he wanted to marry his daughter, he must serve him for 7 long years. And those 7 long years were actually 7 long years of hard labor. But to Jacob, He said, the word of God says, it was like a few days, only like a few days. So I read for you what is recorded for us in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29, verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. You see, he loved her so much that those 7 long years felt as if they were only a few days. Now, while the labor of Othniel for Exa's hand, or the labor of Jacob for Rachel's hand, in the eyes of a third person could appear to be very, very sacrificial. But friends, as far as they were concerned, it was no labor of hard work. No, it was not labor of hard work, but rather it was a labor of love, a labor of pleasantness, a labor of sweetness. Yes, the risk and the toil were worth it all because of their love for their beloved. Friends, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have him as our first love. If we do, our service for him will not be a chore, it will not be a burden. It will be a labor of love. Daily, even when the burdens grow and when our encounter with trials and tribulations becomes greater, our focus will not be on the heaviness of the burden, but our focus will be on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one whom we love dearly, the one who gave his life for us. Because we know that at the end of the day, we will be seeing him face to face. And then we shall be like him. And then we will hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, next, let's look at verse 17. Again, 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it to Kiriath Sepher. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Caleb gave Othniel Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And verse 18. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father. In other words, it came to pass as Aksa came unto Othniel, that she moved Othniel to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass. She dismounted her ass, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want, my dear daughter? What wouldest thou?" And verse 18, earlier on, as we read, it says here, and it came to pass, as she came unto him, Aksa came unto Othniel. Now, apparently, it was the custom of in those days for the father to accompany the daughter, to hand the daughter over to the man that she was going to marry. That was the custom, apparently. And now, as she came before the father, she wanted to ask her father to give her a part of his land, apart from the land that the father had already given her. Yes, but notice this, she didn't go straight to the father first of all. Whom did she approach first of all? Yes, her husband, her newly wedded husband, Othniel. She approached her husband first. You read verse 18, and verse 18 says, she came unto Othniel and moved him to ask of her father a field. So she came to her husband first, and she didn't go to the father. Although she could have done that if she wanted to, but she did not. And surely the father would have given her a very favorable answer if she had approached her father directly. Now let's learn something from Aksa in this action of hers in regards to a woman's relationship to her husband. Now, although her relationship with her husband was very new, and she showed her willingness actually to submit herself to her husband. That's why she approached the husband. She could very well have bypassed her husband, couldn't she? She could have, and she would have gone directly to the father to ask to make that request. But the point is, she did not. She wanted her husband to initiate the request with her husband. But for some reason, Othniel didn't make the request. She just gave the approval for his newly wedded wife, Aksa, to make the request. And so Aksa went ahead to make the request, only after her husband had given the approval. Now, as I said, we do not know why Othniel didn't approach the father-in-law himself to make the request. Maybe he felt very, very awkward because he was a new son-in-law to this man, Caleb. Now, I'd like us to read further Ephesians chapter 5 for the instruction for the marriage relationship. You look at verse 22 of Ephesians 5. I'd like us to turn to Ephesians 5 and look at verse 22. Ephesians 5, 22. Ephesians 5, 22. Ephesians 5:22. Let me read this for you. Ephesians 5:22. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In verse 25, husbands are commanded to love their wives and to love their wives sacrificially. While in verse 22, wives are commanded to submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, many modern women, because of their understanding of the equality of the of the two sexes, naturally are not wanting to accept this teaching from the Word of God. But it is the teaching from the Word of God. Now, of course, when we talk about their understanding of the equality between the two sexes, it is equality based on their definition and not as is described in the Word of God in regards to equality between a man and a woman, a man and his wife. Yes, but God's teaching is very, very clear. Yes, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. God, of course, knows what he's doing because he is our creator and he is the institutor of the marriage relationship. He knows our frame. He knows exactly what we are made of, and he knows exactly how well the marriage relationship would work. Yes, if the marriage relationship were to comply with his teaching, he knows everything, and he knows that the marriage relationship will work best if it is complying to his teaching. So he instructs, husbands, love your wives sacrificially. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, many marriage runs into trouble because the woman refuses to submit herself to her husband. And it is a very, very exceptional situation if the marriage does work. If the woman is the one who calls the shots in the home and the husband appears to be very, very submissive in the home. It is a very unusual situation if the marriage does work. But friends, I've seen, observed situations in which where the man appears to be very meek and mild and even submissive for a time. When? Of course, during the courtship days and maybe in the earlier years of the marriage. Then over time, the man becomes very successful in his office, in his work, is promoted to higher positions, and then he becomes a leader in the community. And the thing that happens next is he no longer can take the wife's calling the shots in the home. And because the wife persists in wanting to do so, the result is the marriage can get into serious trouble. And I've seen at least one marriage breaking up because of this kind of poor relationship in the home. Yes, the husband, the wife wants to call the shot, and the husband is not willing for her to do so, yes? And the wife, of course, in that instance, would not be playing her role. Now, Exa knew her role, and she knew her role early, yes? Now, whether she continued to understand that role and continued to play that role or not, we really do not know. But she had a very good start. She got it right at the beginning, yes? Now, was her submissiveness a disadvantage to her? By no means, my dear friends. If this submissiveness is balanced by her husband's sacrificial love for her. Now, if he loved her sacrificially, surely he would value her submissiveness very, very much rather than taking advantage of her. Then, she was not only submissive, Another thing to note about Esther is that she was not only submissive, but she was also very wise. Notice how she related to her husband. Look at verse 18. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. She moved him to ask of her father. Do you not think she was very powerful? Yes, she moved him. She was powerful. She moved him. Now, all the wives here, you may not be the final decision maker in the home because you are supposed to be submissive. But surely you can have great influence over your husband. You can do all the legwork. Yes, if you want your husband to make the decision that you think is right, you should do all the legwork and then present all the data to your husband so that your husband will be moved, will be influenced to make the decision that you like very much for him to make. And indeed, you can use your persuasive power to influence him to make that kind of decisions, like the way Exa moved Othniel to request that piece of land from her father. Now, next, see something else. In verse 18, all right, I want us to see something else in verse 18. Again, let's look at the verse. And it came to pass as she came unto him, and she moved him to ask of her father a field. Now, I'd like us to see also the kind of consultation that she made with her husband. You know, she didn't make the decision straight away and say, I go see my father. No, she came and she consulted with him. Now, what do you call this, my dear friends? We call it communication. Yes, communication. We see Exa communicating with O'Neill, a real good start for the marriage relationship. And as we said, she could easily have said this, you know. She said, oh, it's my business, after all. It's between my father and me. The land belongs to my father. It's between my father and me. I don't have to discuss this matter with Othniel. After all, we are just newly married. No, she did not do that. Now, this kind of communication, if practiced, will strengthen the marriage relationship. Care must be taken to maintain good communication. The Christian couple can get off to a very good start at the beginning of the marriage. But as years go by, as we said, with the responsibility of bringing up children, with the increased responsibility the man has to bear in the office, and then with the increase of the demands in regards to the cares that he experiences in the church, yes, he might find it hard to have time with his wife, to talk with his wife. I didn't say talk to the wife, but talk with his wife. Communication can break down between husband and wife. And if communication breaks down, then the marriage is going to be soured. Yes, it's not going to be a happy marriage. And if this is not corrected, the marriage relationship can very well break down. So how needful it is that the couple remembers to put the Lord first in their marriage relationship. Yes, they must get together to pray together, to read God's word together. Very important, have worship between husband and wife. Yes, read the word of God together, pray together, and then come together and have this unspoken pledge, because you don't always say it, but unspoken pledge between husband and wife, reiterated or in an unspoken manner. And that is, husband must love wife sacrificially, wife must submit herself to the husband. Next, let us learn some lessons from Exa's desire for an additional piece of real estate from her father, Caleb. Look at Joshua chapter 15 and verse 19. So she came to the father and said to the father, the father asked her, what do you want? And we look at verse 19. Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. Now she was already given a piece of land from the father, but that piece of land apparently was not very good because it didn't have good water supply. And here we want to see from her example that she actually was doing something very, very legitimate. to ask for something that was needful, although it was physical, but she was asking for something that was needful and for her and of course for her family in the future and for all those people who were living there. And also we like to see here that there's actually nothing wrong to ask for physical things that might provide us with some comfort. Now, even if the land was not well watered, then it was not a good piece of land. And even if it could be cultivated, it would be hard work, really very, very hard work for people to work on the land to get enough water to water the crops. So Esau was really being very, very wise to make this request from her father. She was not greedy. She was not covetous. She was not saying, I don't have enough, I want to have more. No, she was not being covetous, and she was not self-seeking in wanting that piece of land, which was actually needful for her to have, and that it was something that was really very, very reasonable. Now, dear friends, we need to search ourselves each time we want to acquire some earthly possessions, particularly if they are possessions of some substantial material value. For example, we might want to possess or buy a new car, or we want to buy a house. The question that we need to ask is, why do we want to own it? Why? What's the real reason? Now we need to come before the Lord and honestly present this request to Him and honestly present to Him our desire. We need to search ourselves and see if we are not being self-seeking, if we are not being covetous, or we are not being greedy. Now, I know of some people who desire to own bigger properties, and they desire to own bigger properties for a very good reason. And you see, they want to own bigger properties because they want to serve the Lord better. They want to improve on their hospitality ministry. So after they have gotten the property, they really do that. They go all out to provide good hospitality to servants of the Lord. So missionaries or preachers who come their way, they will host them. And then they will be very, very happy to host fellowship meetings in their home and Sunday school teachers meetings and other various meetings in the home. They provide the facility for Bible studies and so forth in the home. They really make use of what the Lord gives to them as a tool to serve the Lord better. Surely acquiring earthly possessions to fulfill this desire is most glorifying to the Lord. Now it is worthwhile to note that Caleb was pleased to give his daughter what she requested for, or should I say give to her and to his son-in-law the piece of land she requested for. Look at the second part of verse 19. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The nether springs means the lower springs. Now, the question is, will our Heavenly Father withhold any good thing from us? Caleb gave this very good thing to her daughter. It was a legitimate request, a needful request. Right? Now the question is, will our Heavenly Father withhold any good thing from us? If that thing is good for us and good also for all those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Will He withhold those things from us? Yes, no. Answer is no. Remember, we memorized that verse. What is it? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My dear friends, our God will not withhold any good thing from us if it is really good for us and good for those who are the called, who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. He will surely grant us our heart's request. Next, I'd like us to see the kind of relationship Esau had with her father Caleb. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 tells us that she dismounted her ass to make that request of her father. She didn't remain saddled on the ass. She came down from the ass. That was a mark of respect for her father. Now, God's word teaches us to honor father and mother. Now, it is apparent here that Esau really displayed that kind of respect and honor for her father. Now, God's word commands us to honor father and mother. Yes, honor and respect our parents. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we find actually a stronger word used for honor and respect, with particular reference to younger people, of course. All right, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Okay, verse 1. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not just honor and respect, but obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, because it is commanded by the Lord. Then number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And number 3, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now throughout the ages, we see children being disobedient to their parents. Nothing new, right, throughout the ages. But today, I dare say that the disobedience is very pronounced, and I dare say that it has gotten out of hand. It used to be father would be calling all the shots in the home. His rod of correction will put a lot of good sense into children who are self-centered and who are disobedient. But look what's becoming of our society today. The father who whacks his children is frowned upon, and then he runs into the possibility of running foul of the law if he whacks his children, and a report is made about him. Now, the result is children today are becoming more and more disobedient to their parents, and that's a fact. And they rule the home rather than the parents do. They have no regard for authority at all in the home. Some time ago, we saw how a disobedient boy was behaving himself at the Sydney International Airport. Now, this was years ago, not too long after we arrived here in Sydney. My wife and I were walking towards the terminal building, and then we saw this boy with his parents, and he was grumbling away, you know, making lots of noises, grumbling, complaining, and so forth. He was holding a bottle of drink in his hand. Apparently, he didn't like the bottle of drink that he was having, so he was making a lot of noises. The father tried to explain to him, tried to reason with him, but he didn't care at all. He continued to grumble and grumble. Finally, his mother lost her patience, and she said, "Stop it, that's enough." And what she did was she gave her a slap on the shoulder. You guess what? Complete silence. No more grumbling, no more complaining, and obediently she walked into the terminal. Now, who was more effective in disciplining the child? The doting father or the wife whose actions spoke louder than words? I think the answer is obvious. Now, I'm not saying that today when you go home, you start whacking your kids, all right? I'm not saying that. But friends, surely there must be a way of handling your kids. Yes, pray with them, read the word of God with them, teach them to obey the Lord. Once they know how to obey the Lord, they will know how to obey you. So teach them to obey the Lord. Teach them to love the Lord. Now, young people in our midst, be respectful of your parents and then older people in the church. It is really commanded of the Lord. There are many things that you can actually learn from older people, especially people in the church, in regards to spiritual things. They might not have your kind of energy, or they might not have your kind of tech savviness, but surely it can be said of them that they have eaten more salt than you have eaten rice. Yes. What they lack, yes, they more than make up for by their experience and by their wisdom. Now, you will see that situation in the office. Now, usually, the boss or the manager, isn't he the older person in the company? In your department, usually. Yes, it's usually the case. He's more senior in years than the people who report to him. Now, he might not be as smart as those people who report to him. He might not be as knowledgeable as people who report to him. He might not be tech savvy and so forth. But, my dear friends, what he has is experience. Yes, he has experience. And he has accumulated lots of experience over the years. And that gives him wisdom yes, to be wise, to be sharp, and that gives him the ability to size up situations very, very quickly, which younger folks are not able to. They are so specialized, so knowledgeable in certain areas, but they don't have the overall picture, and they are not able to size up situations very quickly. But the bosses usually are able to do so. That's why they are the boss. All right. Now, young people, humble yourselves. You will indeed be the wiser if you would respect and honor older people, elders in the church. You can learn much from them in regards to spiritual things, and you will find them a great blessing to you if you would relate with them and learn from them. Your submitting to elders or older people in the Lord is actually your showing obedience to the one true living God, who has given us this command: honor thy father and thy mother, who are actually God ordained representatives of authority. If you want to understand who is God's ordained authority, my dear friends, it is your parents. They are the God representatives of God ordained authority. Now, finally, I'd like us to see Exas desiring a blessing from her father, Caleb. Right? She wanted a blessing. Remember, she came to the father, verse 19. She said, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs, the lower springs. The south land apparently was dry and so would be useless if it didn't have the blessings of the two springs, the nether springs, the lower springs, and the upper springs. Now, don't this remind us of the greatest blessing that we are very much in need of? Our earthly goods and our earthly possessions surely are blessings from the Lord. God does not withhold any good thing from us. They are blessings from the Lord. But no matter how good they are, my dear friends, they are only temporal. And they can't satisfy one thing that we are all very much in need of. And that is to quench our soul thirst. Every one of us has a soul. And the thirst of your soul will not be quenched until you receive this blessing from the Lord. And what is this blessing, or what are these blessings? Friends, they are the blessings of everlasting life and the blessing of abundant life. Yes, you need this blessing of abundant life to know the real meaning of life. My dear friends, until you receive these two blessings from the Lord, your soul will be dry and your soul will be thirsty. You remember on the in the book of John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's turn to that passage. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Jews would go to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate three big feasts in a year: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Pentecost. Now, this was the Feast of Tabernacles. And on that last day, that great day, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. My question for all of us here is, have you received these blessings from the Lord yet? The blessings of everlasting life, the blessing of abundant life. Now, if you have not received these blessings from the Lord, it is no wonder you're still feeling thirsty in your soul. You need to be quenched. Yes, your soul thirst needs to be quenched, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can quench this soul thirst. You see, what you need to do is to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And once you have received Jesus into your heart, His Holy Spirit will come into you. and the Holy Spirit here is said to be rivers of living water. He will produce the fruit of the Spirit in you: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And you have these blessings in you, the blessings in you will be so abundant that these blessings will flow to other people whom you relate with. So if indeed you are filled with these blessings, filled with God's Holy Spirit, the outflow of these blessings to others who hear the word of God from you and are converted, my dear friends, they too will be receiving these blessings. So out of you will flow rivers of living water. Your soul thirst will be quenched. So the right thing for you to do right now, if you have not done it yet, is to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Yes, and then out of you shall flow rivers of living water. So let me sum up what I said this morning. Now, Othniel was a man who was worthy of the hand of Exa, his cousin. Now, he was willing to risk his life to win her because he really loved her. He loved her dearly. Now, love makes all the hard labor easy and pleasant. So it was no hard labor for him. He just took up the challenge and he went and he conquered the city of Kiriath Sefer. How much do we love the Lord, friends? Now, if we truly love the Lord, what is going to happen to us is our service to him will not be regarded as a chore. No. Yes, it can be burdensome, but friends, we will not be focusing on the burdens. We will not be focusing on the heaviness of the burden. But our focus will be on the Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. And so the work that we do, my dear friends, will not be felt as a labor of hard work, but it will be a labor of love. And then for good and husband and wife relationship, based on God's word, wives must submit themselves to their own husband, just as Exa showed submission to her husband. Then husbands on their part must love their wives, and they must love their wives sacrificially, just like Exa was willing to give his life because he loved Exa. Wives never need fear if they were to submit themselves to their husbands, because in actual fact, if they are submitting to their husbands, they are submitting unto the Lord. And if the husbands truly love them, my dear friends, the husband will be valuing, treasuring the submissiveness of the wife. And wise would be the wife if she has the wisdom to influence her husband's decision rather than to try to overrule him. And the way to do it is do your homework, do the legwork. If you want your husband to make a decision that is you think is right, yes, you can't force your way to make your husband make the decision you want him to make, but you can help him make that decision by providing him the necessary information, by doing all the legwork that needs to be done to get the data needed for him to make the decision. Then for good husband and wife relationship, there must be good communication between husband and wife. A marriage will break down if the communication is poor. As believers, we can desire material blessings from the Lord. Nothing wrong with that if we are very, very clear in our minds and our hearts that we are not being greedy, we are not being covetous, and that we are not being self-seeking. Yeah, and that we know that the requests that we make are reasonable, and that the things that we are asked for, if they are going to be made use of tools to enable us to be more effective in our service unto him. Yes, and then what he gives us, of course, will then be blessings from him. Now, as believers, let us show respect and honor to our elders, particularly our parents, just as Exa did to Caleb. Such conduct speaks very, very well for our testimony for the Lord. And finally, seek the best blessing from the Lord. Don't just seek for material things, but seek for the blessed blessing from the Lord. And this blessing, no earthly goods or no earthly possessions can provide. Yes, it is a blessing of having our soul thirst quenched. Yes, ask for the Lord to quench our thirst. And the only way for our soul thirst to be quenched is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. And when you do so, his mighty Holy Spirit will come in to dwell in you. And the word of God says he will be like rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. And those relating with you will be very much blessed by you because of these blessings that are flowing out of you. And of course, you yourself will be very, very blessed because your soul thirst will have been quenched by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for mercies and we thank you for grace in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord God, to abide by your teachings. We thank you for the example of Exa and the example of O'Neill in regards to the marriage relationship. Lord, we pray that you will help all the men and the women here to observe these teachings given out of your word of life. Husband to love their wives sacrificially, and the wives to submit themselves to their own husbands as unto the Lord. And help all of us, younger ones particularly, to relate better with the older people in the church. Help them to obey your command of honoring parents, father and mother, who are actually representative of your God, of your ordained authority. Father, we pray this morning that you will be with us and help us to ask for the best thing. Yes, the best thing is, of course, to have our soul thirst quenched. We pray for those who have not come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet. We pray that you will be very gracious to them this morning to cause them to open their hearts unto the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for this special blessing from him by receiving him as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.